You're listening to the Trailblazers Podcast, Episode 7, with Craig the Barber.
Funny enough, that same day, I just closed a really big deal at the bank when I used to work in the banking business. And that felt good. But when I cut this guy's hair and I saw his face after I finished cutting his hair, that felt better than any deal I closed. And that was the moment I said, wait a second, I think I figured it out. I think I found what I want to do.
You're listening to the Trailblazers Podcast, where we will explore the stories of successful Black professionals. Join us as we highlight the knowledge, resources, and tools of these accomplished Trailblazers to help provide the know-how, confidence, and motivation you need to blaze your trail. And now, here's your host, Stephen Hart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Trailblazers Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Hart. Today on our show, I am just thrilled to be interviewing a dear friend, Craig Whiteley, known to the world as Craig the Barber. And just to share a few things about Craig, he's the founder and editor-in-chief of themensroom.com. He is Hollywood's top source for men's grooming needs, and he's worked with several prestigious salons and barbershops in the Los Angeles area, where his clientele grew to include many of Hollywood's most famous names and faces. He's in the past lent his services to events such as Diddy's annual 4th of July White Party and Michael Jordan's Celebrity Golf Tournament. He's a frequent contributor to Men's Health magazine. He served as a spokesperson for two global brands in Lab Series by Estee Lauder and Philips Norelco. He creates, produces, hosts exclusive how-to videos for eHouse Style. He's a contributing educator to the Paul Mitchell Schools, and he's flown around the world consulting with several corporations and hosting consumer events. And his baby, themensroom.com, is a site dedicated to the art of barbering and style for men. And we're going to talk a little bit about the blog in a moment, but beyond his many amazing accolades, he's also a proud husband and dad. And so, you know, without a doubt, a very accomplished professional and an all-around great person, and I'm just so excited to have him come on the show today and share some of his wisdom with us. So let's welcome Craig to the show today. Thank you so much for being our guest on today's episode, my brother.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So, you know, I've just gone ahead and shared so much, right, with our audience about your accolades, right? But tell us something we don't hear too often about you that isn't scripted or, you know, polished for media consumption, but it's 100% Craig. Hmm.
Hey, you know what? I secretly think I could compete against Bobby Flay. I love to grill. When I get an opportunity to watch any episode of cooking, I do it. I'm always trying to figure out another way to cook something different, to grill something different. If I had another chance at life, I think I would absolutely be Craig the Chef. That's
really
what I think. Absolutely. Absolutely. Man. I love to cook, man. My wife just sits down and just looks and says, all right, what's Craig going to make today? You know, I spend more time on the grill than I spend in the kitchen sometimes. It's just a fun time, man. I love it. It's very cathartic, it just feels very rewarding just to, you know, feed somebody and they love it and they say, oh, this is great. It's just more incentive for me to just go even harder at figuring out another dish or something of that nature. Oh, yeah.
Nice. We need you to bring it up to the hard house.
Oh, hey, whenever. Say the word.
So, Craig, you and I have known each other for, man, I don't even want to. Should I even say 21 years?
Has it been? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're right. It's been that long.
21 years. We met at USF back in the mid-90s. And
USF pre-K. Right. Yeah, man. Go ahead.
Man, you know, but I don't think I ever knew you to be a barber. Mm-hmm. When was the first time that you actually discovered this desire, this passion for wanting to become a master barber?
It's really started out of ego, to be honest. I got to about the ninth grade when, you know, I started kind of filling out and getting a little bit more confidence in myself and realized that I was getting attention from the ladies. And so I wanted to look good all the time. And so I didn't want to get a haircut once every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks when my parents could afford to take me. And, you know, I really wanted to get a haircut every week. So my father said, well, if you want to get a haircut every week, I'm going to buy you a pair of clippers and you're going to have to figure it out yourself. And nice. This was around 14 years old and he bought me a pair of clippers and every chance I got on a Saturday morning, on a Friday afternoon, whatever time I had, I would go to the barbershop and watch them cut hair. And then I got enough confidence to give it a try. And it was a Sunday evening. I wanted to look fresh for Monday's class. I started cutting my hair and man, I put the biggest patch in the back of my head. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. And my school didn't allow hats. So needless to say, I had to go to school with a big patch in my head. But luckily, as soon as I was able to get to a barbershop the following day, my mom took me to the barbershop and they got it all cleaned up. And the barber just taught me. He taught me exactly why I made the mistake I made. And so I built up a little bit more confidence and tried it again. It took me like 2.5 hours. I got better and better. Friends started saying, oh, man, cut my hair. And I have a buddy of mine, you know him, Neil, his older brother, would have me cut his hair, but he would watch me cut his hair holding a mirror in front of him. So he would tell me exactly what to do. And it was annoying at the time, but I realized that he was actually training me for this art that I love so much now. I got good at it, cut hair all through high school. In college, I cut my fraternity brother's hair. And actually in high school, when I played sports, I cut hair in a locker room. And I made a little side money in college. And then when I graduated college, I did it as something on the side to do, you know. And it wasn't until a young man, old neighbor of mine in Atlanta, Georgia, asked me to come over and cut his brother's hair that was in town. And his brother asked if I could cut his hair, you know, do whatever I wanted to do. And I asked him, is there anything you wanted specific? He said, no, just go at it. So I cut his hair and I asked him, just go to the bathroom and take a look at it. And I went and followed him to the bathroom and he looked at me, he looked in the mirror and he was just, his entire face changed. And that moment of how he felt about how well, how good he looked, you just saw confidence just shoot out of him. And that made me feel really good. Funny enough, that same day, I just closed a really big deal at the bank when I used to work in the banking business. And that felt good. But when I cut this guy's hair and I saw his face after I finished cutting his hair, that felt better than any deal I closed. And that was the moment I said, wait a second, I think I figured it out. I think I found what I want to do. And so
let's talk about that. You didn't come out of college to actually pursue barbering.
No, I had it.
What happened there?
You know, I had it in my heart and I would tell myself all the time, one day I'm going to cut hair. One day I'm going to be a barber and I'm going to run this really big barbershop and blah, 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 blah. But first I'm going to work in a bank, make a lot of money, and I'm going to have a bunch of money to invest, and I'm going to do it like this, and I'm going to do it like that. But, you know, funny enough, you set these plans in place. And for a profession such as barbering, I realized very quickly that you need to actually be in it. You have to perform it. In a lot of professions, you have to actually be at the ground floor, working the actual product or the art or whatever it may be to actually know the true nuances of how it functions, how barbershop functions, how cutting hair functions before you could actually run something like that. And I just thought that the best angle would be make a lot of money, one day retire, open up a barbershop, and then I'll cut hair. But I realized after that moment how much I really didn't like doing what I was doing in the as a banker. And so I said, you know what, why wait? And my wife was a big, big promoter and supporter of saying, you know, I don't want you to sit around saying, oh, well, it's me, woulda, coulda, shoulda, when you're, you know, older in age. Said, we're young, and why don't you give it a shot now? That way you could at least say if it didn't work, you're at peace with it. And so she was a strong promoter, a strong supporter in pushing me in that direction.
That's great, because one of the things that I really wanted to bring up in the flow of this show is to talk about fears, right? Because every one of us has a fear that's really holding us back from achieving or greatness.
Yes.
And I believe my pastor recently said that 97% of the fears that we have never actually materialize. Mm-hmm. But they hold us back from, you know, achieving so many of the opportunities that we would have probably taken action on.
Absolutely.
But, you know, held back from, right? Absolutely. So let me ask you, are you more afraid of failing to achieve a goal you've set? Or do you think that you're more afraid of what comes after you've messed around and achieved those goals? like the responsibilities that would come after that, right?
That's a great question. And I think that the way I am and being such perfectionist to a fault, I think I'm more afraid of failing to achieve the goal than I am about the responsibilities that come after. Because the responsibilities that come after, to me, excite me. When I imagine how it could be, it's an exciting thing. So I get so excited about the responsibilities that I will be able to have that mm-hmm. I then become so fearful of failing to get to that point where I can enjoy those responsibilities. And so
the fear of failing is a motivation.
Yes, absolutely. And, so that is probably my biggest challenge for myself is, making sure that I check off every single goal or accomplishment that I want to accomplish. And it can, be a challenge sometimes to kind of create a balance in that, mm-hmm. but I do fear when I put something down, this is what I want to do. I fear not being able to accomplish it.
So let's blow that up a little
sure.
bit. Let's maybe share, what was something that you feared on this journey that you had to overcome for your brand, for your business, to be able to experience growth?
Right.
To talk through maybe, what happened, how you overcame those fears to push forward,
Absolutely.
Push through.
Absolutely. That's a great question as well. One of my biggest challenges when I first came into the world of barbering was how do I separate myself from everyone else? I wanted to be able to have anybody of any ethnic background, any hair type sit in my chair. And I wanted to be able to cut their hair. And I felt that would be one way to differentiate myself from everyone else that wanted to stick with a specific race or specific hair type. But the fear in itself was how am I going to be able to do all hair types well?
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked, my very first barbershop that I worked at was in Long Beach, California, and it was a men's salon, very diverse community of folks. And for the most part, about 70% of the folks that came in, I was able to cut their hair. But there was that, 30% that I was very fearful of them, wanting to book an appointment with me. And so I would, for all intents and purposes, I realized that there was some shortcomings in that, and I would fake it till I made it. And that wasn't good necessarily, but, I just had to get better. And I felt one of the biggest ways to get better was just getting more of those guys in my chair. Until one evening, a gentleman came in. He told me what he wanted. He had very, very straight hair, white guy. And he sat down. He told me what he wanted. It sounded like a very simple haircut. And I cut his hair, and he was extremely disappointed. So much so that I, told him you don't have to pay. But he said, no, I'll pay. But I at that moment, I said to myself, man, I've got to figure this out. So I went home, disappointed for the whole weekend, got back on Tuesday for work. I asked the front desk to call that guy. I called him. I spoke to him. I said, listen, once again, I'm sorry for giving you such a poor service. If you give me another opportunity, I will give you this haircut for free. But I just want to make it right. And he said, he was flattered. He said, oh my gosh, thank you very much. And so, as the weeks went by, I was waiting, for his hair to grow back and come back in. He never came back in. And at that moment, I realized, I got to figure something out. And what I did was I went online and I bought every single hair cutting DVD I could find, bought it, shipped to my house. And I bought three tripods. And people in the beauty industry know that when they practice, they have these mannequin heads that you put on these tripods and you practice to cut hair. And let me tell you something. My wife would come home and I'd be in front of that television cutting every single hairstyle I knew I could cut on those mannequin heads. And I got better and I got better and I got better to the point where at this stage in my career, there's absolutely no one, male or female, that can sit in my chair and I can't give them a quality service.
That is excellent. That's really neat.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah, that was a pivotal moment in my career. A big one.
So, Craig, at what point did Craig the Barber, right? Because, you're a registered trademark.
Yeah.
What? This is a brand.
Yes.
at what point did you move from being a barber mm-hmm. in a shop to saying, this is going to become a brand. I'm going to be a grooming expert and actually live that out and begin to get all this media coverage and grow to what it is today? Like, when did that happen?
I was working in that barbershop down in Long Beach. I worked there for about a year. And I was trying to see if I can do some extra work on an on-call basis at through a salon in Santa Monica, California at the time called Fred Siegel Beauty. Very, 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 very high-end, very prestigious barbershop. And at the time, there was a barber there, barber named Nate there. And so I'd go to him, and what he did was he was one of the guys, because it was such a prestigious shop, they would companies and brands would call that shop to request him to do events and things of that nature. And I wanted to see if I could, you know, partner up with him and, you know, learn the ropes and network and things of that nature, because that was an angle that I wanted to get to. And he said, yeah, sure. You know, let's see what we can do. And, you know, we stayed in touch. And in that process, I also had to cut his hair so he can give me basically a stamp of approval to say, oh, this guy knows how to cut hair. So I cut his hair. He absolutely loved it. And he said, you know what? I'll keep you on file. If any opportunity comes, I will make sure to give you a call. A few months go by, I'll just check in, didn't hear anything, until one day I was at a down moment in my career where I was just thinking that, you know, I made this big change from banking to barbering, and I just didn't feel like I was generating at the time enough income to, you know, truly be a contributor to the household. I was pretty bummed out that weekend. And so, you know, my wife and I went out of town and came back, and I was just thinking about it, and I was just like, you know, I just really hope there's an open door. I hope the good Lord could just see my intentions and my ambitions. And I just happened to see my answer machine blinking. So I look at the light, I hit play, and it's that guy, Nate, telling me that, hey, Craig, hope everything is well with you. I am moving to Hawaii, and I wanted to know if you would like my chair at Fred Siegel Salon. And that was huge. And I'll tell you how huge it is, and I'm not trying to throw all this stuff out, but at the time I was working at that salon and barbershop in Long Beach, I was charging, I think it was $35 for a haircut. That salon in Santa Monica, the starting price was $100. So to be in a position of a promotion like that was a very exciting opportunity, not to mention that particular location was a hotbed for the industry. And so, long story short, I got hired, took on that position, and a brand by the name of Lab Series Skincare for Men requested me to do the services for the Emmys. And I spent 3 days with the head of education for Lab Series Skincare for Men, got to know that they had challenges selling their shaving products to men. They could relate it as far as skincare, but they couldn't transition the shaving part to sell their shaving products. And I basically created a sales pitch to tell them, you need to have someone that is in the industry explain to your sales staff how to then be more relatable to your male clientele. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, a few months later, she asked me if I can come in and train the staff. I flew to St. Louis and I flew to New York. And then I went and I trained the management and the staff to properly sell shaving tools. And that began a stage of events that changed my entire career. From there, I became someone that they use from time to time in their events in department stores. Then I became their spokesperson. And that was what created the opportunity for me to say, hey, I got to brand myself. This is a big deal. And that's how it started. Craig the Barber in the space of educating men on grooming. And it, then from there, it grew on to, well, how can I reach more than one person in my chair at a time? I wanted to reach the world. And that's where the men's room came in, themensroom.com. And I felt that if I can start educating not only my peers, but also men through understanding the importance of grooming and understanding why certain things work and why certain things don't work from a barber's perspective, very straightforward, very friendly approach, like a barber is to you in the chair. Right. I felt that I could do that and help many more people. And that's where I am today.
So that's where the men's room took hold, right? Yeah. And so let's maybe talk about the men's room and social media. Sure. You've now got what, like nearly like 300,000 views on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you have thousands of followers on social media. Mm-hmm. Whoever has helped you with your social media has done a really good job.
Yeah, I wonder who that guy is. somebody named, has the last name Hart, some guy who USF pre-K. Somebody.
There you go. But let's talk about the blog, right? Yeah. How did you go about building the men's room and building your social media, you know, because even when I came in to help you, you'd already established yourself, right? So talk to me about, you know, why the blog, why YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and what have you gained from it? How has it helped you build Craig the Barber?
Absolutely. Well, the big why was that I had this very, you know what? I could say two things. It comes from two things. One, the purest reason why was because I felt that there was a moment in my career where I wanted to separate myself from the pack, right? But, you know, coming from the background of my parents making sure that, you know, all of our kids go to school and being very ambitious and doing things of that nature, there was a moment where I left the banking business to become a barber. And so I had the support of my wife, 1,000%. But the support wasn't there from the rest of my community at the time. They looked at it like, wait a second, you left a great paying banking job. You could potentially be vice president, whatever it may be, to be a barber. It was looked at as something that was less than. And so egotistically, I felt at the time that I wanted to create more respect for the trade in the sense where someone can grow up and say, I want to be a barber. And mom and dad is not frowning on it. They're saying, well, yeah, there's that guy named Craig the Barber. You go for it. They have someone to look up to, you know, and that was a very egotistical framework at the time. But it was something that I was working internally through to justify what I did. But the passion play in that whole thing was that even through that, I wanted to educate people on grooming itself. I've always been a person that was very conscious of my appearance. And I knew that there are a lot of areas in a man's life that we just fumble through until we figure it out. And since I was spending so much time researching grooming, understanding products, understanding why things do this, and with the help of Lab Series Skincare for Men, understanding more about skincare and how important it is in shaving and how important it is in just having healthy looking skin throughout your entire life, I realized that, wait a second, I can share this. I can really help people do this, and I could just be their resource. You know, I could be their resource for being this grooming expert that, as you know, at that time, men's grooming was slowly coming to shape and men were slowly starting to really be concerned about how they look even more. And I felt that, hey, I could be, you know, someone that could help change and create this movement. And it coming from a barber's perspective, giving the barber an opportunity to have the tools to be a better barber for their clients, you know? And so I felt that if I could help everyone, that was the whole thing. If I could help the barbers be better barbers, to have more tools to help their clients, to build more clientele, and I can help the consumer, you know, fumble through so many products and understand, well, I don't want to buy this because Craig says this because this works and that doesn't, you know, then you could buy more quality products that are truly going to be effective. And coming from a barber's perspective, I felt that, you know, we are as barbers responsible in caring for the man's grooming needs. And so therefore it's not just about cutting hair and shaving. It's about what's in between all that to help them look their best. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, with the social media, I was deathly afraid at the time of joining Twitter. This is when, you know, Twitter just kind of came out. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to say on Twitter? What am I going to say on Facebook? I have been for so long such a private person that I had no idea what I was going to say. And it started organically, just me saying, well, I'll just share the stuff that I blog about. And before you know it, I had an audience that would tweet back to me or ask me questions. And I'm like, oh, I could be more of myself because now I felt like I was literally their barber via social media. And that's how it became something where I'm much more comfortable, you know, sharing on social media sites.
Wow. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah, man. It's been an awesome journey. And the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm realizing that, wow, this is fun. You know, this is a lot of fun.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more ahead of you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not stopping. No, sir. No.
So let's talk about today, right? So like, are there daily routines or rituals on your day to day that you do or engage in to help sharpen your mind and keep you grounded? Yes, really?
Absolutely. You know, I have a handful of, I can tell you my routine right off the bat. You know, every night at 7:30 PM, my phone goes off and tells me, map out your day, your next day. So it's an alert that tells me, all right, well, what do you got planned for tomorrow, man? Just start writing it down. So I write them down. And that way, when I wake up in the morning, my mind is clear. I'm not sitting around thinking for the next hour, oh, what do I have to do? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? It's already written. It's already taken care of. So that frees my mind to, number one, the next step, get up. I read my Bible. I pray, meditate, and then when I'm free and clear of my mind, I look at the goals that I've set for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year, and I ask myself, what's holding you back from accomplishing these tasks today? And then from that, I wait for an answer. And then I work through that answer. And it doesn't take, you know, it sounds like it's a long, drawn out process, but it doesn't, because I already know what I need to do.
Right.
So now I just have to ask myself, okay, what's going to hold me back? Whether it's emotionally, whether it's, you know, something I have to do here and there, I have to drive here. What's going to hold me back from accomplishing all these tasks that I prioritized for today? And that helps me, you know, zone in and just really challenge myself to say, oh no, that's an excuse. That is not a good reason to not do that today, you know? And then, you know, I have a handful of friends that I've really grown to be close to that hold me accountable, that hold each other accountable for what we're doing in life. You know, what are we doing? How are we growing? And, you know, sometimes it's a tough phone call. Sometimes you call somebody and he's asking you, hey, so how's blah, blah, blah? And you don't have a good answer. And they're like, come on, man, you know, we spoke about this. Or I could be doing that to them. And that holds me accountable to making sure that what I set forth to do is being accomplished. You know, iron sharpens iron, you know?
That's right.
Amen.
I really appreciate these responses. They're amazing. Sure. You have me thinking. You're provoking thought today.
Hey, I appreciate it.
So let's take just a minute and let's maybe talk about, you know, some of these roadblocks that you've experienced that, you know, you failed. You've been challenged by, you know, take me through maybe, you know, one of those instances. Tell us what happened, you know, how you overcame it and kind of got back on track.
Right. You know, that's, you know, first thing, you know, all your listeners need to understand that, you know, when you step out to pursue anything outside of what's already been shaped, designed through a job, through a career path, it's just already, the framework is there. When you step out to create your own framework, there will be failure, period, point blank. Accept it, appreciate it for the growth that you're going to have going through it. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be ugly, but there are lessons there. You know, one of the big things that a big roadblock or a big setback, or failure, I guess is the best way to say is, a few years ago, maybe about 2-3 years ago, I was developing, I still have it, a shave cream. And what caused it to not come to fruition was, and I don't even know if this is two words you can even put together, but I'm going to put it together. I call it egotistical perfectionism. For me, at the moment that I was developing this cream and the moment I was preparing to launch it and do all this stuff, I felt an obligation to present the product to my audience that was, it was an unrealistic and unattainable standards. You know, realizing now that all brands, whether you're Coca-Cola, whether you're whoever it may be, you start from somewhere, you know, and all brands and products improve over time. And you have to start where you are with the best you have at the time and improve from there. And I felt that I needed to come out the gate with the product looking better than any other product on the market, working better than any other product on the market. And it really created a situation where I was perfecting perfection. And it was just like, dude, just get over yourself and get it on the market and then figure it out from there. But I just didn't want to fail in any aspect of it, from how it looked, from how it felt. I didn't want one person creating a review on Amazon or wherever it may be saying, oh, that's okay. I wanted 100% saying it's great, which is unrealistic, you know, and it created a really big challenge for me, to bring it to light and, you know, cause some rifts and things of that nature with my business partner at the time. And, you know, it didn't come to where it should be. Good thing is that it took me quite some time to really check myself on, you know, why that happened and what caused that. And can you now look back and say, is that something you can do again differently? And, I have now finally kind of gone past that and realized that, yeah, I can. And, I am in the process again of finishing up my first product, which will be out hopefully sooner than later, targeting Father's Day for sure. But I just wanted to put it out there as a product that I feel that is going to add to the options that are out there, as well as on the things that I've learned as a barber that can improve on the products that are out there. And that's it. It's going to be what it is for how I want it to be. And the rest of that stuff is just, I'll get there when it's out.
You know, the truth of the matter is, mm-hmm. you get those feedback. The feedback that isn't the greatest mm-hmm. can actually help that product
right.
more than Excellent. Many of the people who are saying it's great,
Absolutely.
Right? You get the opportunity to see exactly, well, what was I missing and how can I improve on it in the next round?
Oh, yeah. And it makes so much sense. I mean, if you look at themensroom.com now, you look at craigdebarber.com now, both sites have gone through 3-4 different, they've changed. They've been redesigned 3 or 4 times. Because right. you realize, you know, with needing added this, you add that, you tweak this, you tweak that. That's always going to happen. But you know, sometimes you get caught up in yourself and realize, and you get stuck. You get stuck, mm-hmm. you know, trying to do all that at once, and it doesn't work.
Very important. Yeah. Very important to listen to, guys.
Yeah.
So, Craig, we've talked a bit about successes. We've talked about failures. Was there ever a specific decision? Or like a defining moment on your journey where you knew it was a significant time, right? And it was a journey changing, altering moment, right? Mm-hmm. That you said, hey, you know, this is going to be different, or I'm definitely on the right path. Mm.
I think that you know one of the biggest decisions I made in my career that really took me to another level was. Creating an awareness of who I was via online through themensroom.com, coming out as being an expert in my field. It opened up so many doors, and the doors are still opening with, you know, working with big brands like Norelco, like Estee Lauder brand, Lab Series, and several other brands that, you know, I'm in conversations with. I'm the men's grooming expert for Men's Health Magazine. I provide content for other magazines. All of those things opened up because I chose an opportunity to share. You know, I didn't create the men's room to be this vehicle of producing money. Mm-hmm. It was literally just an extension of myself, just feeling a desire to share what I knew. And it opened up doors to get me these opportunities to, you know, to continue to share and obviously make money from it. And so it's that was a big move. When you're willing to, I guess, give of yourself, you know, without expecting anything out of it, that's when it changed for me.
So what you're saying is you wanted to give value first,
yep.
before even thinking about the monetization
Absolutely.
Piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you knew that if you could create something worth value to somebody, mm-hmm. to that audience, mm-hmm. that, you know, it'll take care of you in the end.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's worked and it still works, you know, and it's not. It's a formula that it works for everyone. You know, it's not just in grooming. It's just in life. You know, you become someone that's willing to give of yourself and share value. And it doesn't have a play, for example, in a financial play from the onset. Then you realize that, you know, wow, this guy is really good. Then it kind of changes, you know, then it will give you an opportunity to open those doors that, you know, sometimes are unreachable because people look at you like, oh, he's just doing it for the money.
Right.
You know,
and, you know that's something that, you know, we could speak to because I know as a social media manager, mm-hmm. A lot of businesses look at social media and they say, well, social media is garbage as a marketing channel. You know, you can't monetize social media. How would you respond to something like that? You know, in light of what social media has really done for your brand?
Oh, well, social media, at this day and age it's extremely important. It's the only way, first of all, it's free advertising for yourself. Right. And then it's getting you in certain arenas that you can't otherwise get into without a big PR person or something of that nature. So it builds brand awareness very quickly because there are just so many people looking for whatever you're selling. You know, whatever it may be, whatever you're offering, people are looking for it. And it's just a matter of finding that audience. And then you become valuable to that audience. And then you become valuable to the people that provide whatever they're providing specific to that audience. And then, you know, for me, it's men's grooming. This is a billion-dollar industry at this point, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I'm able to share freely to people that are willing to see what I'm sharing on social media becomes valuable to them, and then what they gain becomes valuable to the people that are providing certain products and tools. So it's this full-service product that is being created for everyone to take advantage of. And awareness is huge. If you want to be known in an industry, you have to do social media in a way where it gets you the visibility you need to continue to grow.
Right.
It's huge.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, you've done so many great things year over year. I just keep watching you grow and grow. How do you keep from falling into and getting stuck in a comfort zone?
I don't like the feeling of being comfortable. I've never had that feeling. I have a very difficult time just relaxing 100%. I can relax for a short period of time. I can go on a vacation and it feels great. But after a while, I get that itch like, I got to do something. This is a little bit too quiet for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so in that particular space, I'm always feeling that there's something else I can do, not just for myself, but for my industry specifically. You know, I'm constantly thinking of how else can I help grow this industry with what I have, you know? And so I'm always thinking, and it's just something in me. And I think it's just an entrepreneurial spirit, for a person that once they get a bug of some sort of success in their career, it is very contagious. It's very, addictive, and you like to get more of that, either of the same, or how can you find a way to make it feel even better, so to speak. It sounds a little, you know, hokey, but at the end of the day, to me, it's a challenging thing. You know, right. When I'm always challenged, then I feel that I'm growing. I feel that it's more there. When I don't feel challenged anymore, it's when it becomes something that I just don't want to do anymore. And this industry is so big that if you just think just for a moment, for 5 minutes, you can find another way to challenge yourself in that industry. And that's what keeps me going. Challenging myself.
Are you somebody that, from a practical sense, right? Because some of us are like that. Entrepreneurs, you know, we're always ticking, right? On a vacation, you get to the tail end. I can relate. Yeah. You know, I get a couple of days and I shut down and then my brain starts talking to mm-hmm. me and it's back to work mm-hmm. in my head, even if I'm not doing something. But are you someone that writes goals down, kind of, you know, what? So we're entering 2016. We're almost a month into the year. You know, how are you tackling your goals for this year? Are you big on writing goals down and holding yourself accountable to kind of your written goals?
Absolutely. I used to not do that. But now I do. I have this book. I call it my little black book. Mm-hmm. And every time I have a thought, I write it down. And I have a little section of where I write all the stuff down. And when I get an opportunity, I flesh them out and see how they can work with what I'm currently doing. Or is that something that that's a 3, 4, 5 year plan away, all of those things. And you have to write it down. The reason you write it down is because life happens and you'll forget it. And you might have a great thought and it might be kind of tugging at you a little bit, but then it changes if you don't write it down, because it's, you know, even a goal can morph. It morphs on its own, but it morphs even more if you're not writing it down. You could think about, oh, I want to do this. And by Friday, you want to do that, but then you added a couple more pieces to it. And so, absolutely. Writing a goal is huge, and I write them down all the time. And 2016's goals are pretty interesting and huge at the same time. And so I set a goal, you know, I create a deadline and I make a plan around it. And I try not to waver with the deadline as much as I have the flexibility of being okay with if the plan changes. Right. Because you can change a deadline till it's 4 years, 5 years, 7 years down the road. If it's going to work, it's going to work. Granted, they're, you know, you have to be realistic, but that's where the plan comes in, right?
Yep.
So that's just how I approach it.
That's great. Craig, I just want to take a minute, man, and acknowledge you. You have, in every sense of the word, you are a trailblazer. You've changed the perception of barbering.
Thank you.
And, you know, even talking to you today, you've really lifted the limitations on what can be accomplished in the profession. And it has so much more, you know, opportunities beyond just, providing a service to someone sitting in your chair.
Right.
And, you know, you're a great friend. You're a great mentor, a great grooming expert. You know, I've watched you build and nurture a community of people globally over the past several years. And It's impressed me.
Thank you.
You know, I'm impressed by you. I'm motivated by you. You're an inspiration for me. And beyond that, like I said at the top of the show, you're an amazing dad and husband, and I respect that, you know, as another husband and dad.
Thank you.
So, you know, thank you very much for all that you do.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we've got a couple more minutes.
Yeah,
of course, we're going long, but
it's okay.
We're going to speed things up a bit in this last couple minutes. And are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So share with us one book you've read in the past year mm-hmm. that's inspired you.
Oh, boy. That would have to be Blue Ocean Strategy.
Wow.
That's by W. Chan Kim and Renee Mauburn. That changed my entire view on running a business. Everyone needs to read that book. That should be Business 101. That should be the first book you read.
Okay, we'll put that up in the show notes of the page.
Love it. Love it. Great book. Great book.
Tell me, what is something small you've done in the past month that you're proud of?
Yeah. I reached out to a friend of mine that recently had actually, my godson, actually had a child about 5 months ago now. And I saw him when I was in California, you know, he's just doing his thing, really trying to hold everything together in the chaos of having a newborn. And when I came back to Florida, I just felt, you know, in my heart to give him a call and tell him, you know, you're doing a good job. You know, sometimes in the moments when you're not sleeping, where you're just struggling to, you know, figure out what day it is, I wanted to let him know that I've been there, and it feels like you're not doing a good job, but you are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people just need to know that so they can just get that breath and knowing that they're just, that it's okay. The way they're doing it is fine. You know,
that new parent strength.
Yes. Yes. And he loved it. He was really appreciative of me sharing that. And so it felt good for me to just, you know, just do it. Just simple words, just saying you're doing a good job. You know,
Craig, I said small, that's big, man.
Oh, I know. Sorry. I do things big. I don't know. Sorry.
Craig, can a trailblazer have too many goals?
No. I don't think they can have too many goals. However, I do believe having too many can oftentimes distract the person from growing the one they are working on to its fullest potential.
Mm.
So I think we all have tons of goals, but it's a matter of setting priorities and not getting distracted from where you currently are and working on the one you are working on.
Name an online resource, could be an app, software, or tool you use every day in your business that you can't live without.
I got a name too. That's Hootsuite and Apple News. I got to know what's going on in the world, and Hootsuite keeps me from going crazy and running the media, all the media stuff, and you know, scheduling it out and all that kind of stuff. That's extremely helpful. It allows me to do other things while Hootsuite is working for me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal for me.
I've never used Apple News. I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, man. It curates all the stuff you're interested in reading for what you like. And then I just go through it. So I know, you know, sometimes it's great to have conversation in the chair. You know, when you talk to your client. So you got to have
absolutely
abreast of whatever you have. What's going on?
Craig, why is it important to volunteer and give back with both your time and your talents?
Because you can't take any of it with you.
Mm.
So when my hands get tired and I can't do what I want to do, I want to know that I've passed on those skill sets and those understandings of why I do what I do to someone else so they can carry it on. That's the only way you're going to grow the industry. That's the only way you're going to grow and evolutionize your trade.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Tell us your all-time favorite quote, maybe inspires you the most.
Sure. I don't know who said this, but I know it's been phrased many other ways, but it's the biggest failure you can have in life is making the mistake of never trying at all.
Mm.
So the biggest failure you can have, you know, for me, that's huge. Got to give it a shot. Whatever it is.
I love that. So we're approaching the end of today's session, and I'd love to invite you to impart some actionable tips, maybe an inspiring message that can help elevate us, you know, today, on raising the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So please take a couple minutes and help us, you know, get some motivation, some courage to blaze a new trail.
Sure. Well, I think what's important for everyone to realize that we all are here on this planet for a purpose. We have some talent, some skill that we have been given. Some have one, some have two, some have many. And I realize just going through life is that one of the toughest things, most difficult things, tasks is to sit down, evaluate what you're good at, what your goal can be with what you're good at, once you've found a way to recognize what that is, that's the first step in truly accomplishing great things for whatever your talent is. But a lot of people, because of life and because we're just so busy, we push it back and say, I'll figure it out later. I'll figure it out later before later is too late. And I think it's important that as much time as we dedicate to wanting to watch our favorite show, wanting to watch our favorite football game or whatever it may be, and knowing every aspect about that star player and knowing the stats and knowing all that stuff, all the efforts that you put in those things, you can use those same efforts in finding out truly what your purpose and talent is here on Earth to truly enjoy it to its fullest. And so my suggestion is just, you know, take that time. Beginning of the year, it might take you 6 months. It might take you 7 months. It might take you a whole year to figure out what exactly that is, you know, through some reevaluations and through some understanding. But that's what's going to get you to having a more fulfilling and happier life in whatever you're called to. And I think it's important. I remember reading a book a long, 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 long time ago. I don't even know if it exists anymore, but it's called What Color Is Your Parachute? And that book helped me to really identify what exactly, where was I really going with my life and what career path was best for me. And that really helped me. And so, it's a great book for whoever is listening to, you know, if it's still out there, check it out. And it would add, it has some really great questions to challenge you to really dig deep to see what's valuable to you, for a career path or just for a talent for life, you know?
Right. Craig, man, I appreciate you. We appreciate you taking time out of your super busy schedule. You've shared some extremely helpful and very inspiring tips with our community of future trailblazers. And why don't you tell us, you know, how we can stay connected with you, and we'll finish up.
Sure. Well, you can easily find me through my name, CraigTheBarber.com. Social media, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is facebook.com/CraigTheBarber and @CraigTheBarber on Twitter. And that's where you can find me. You can always send me a message through any of those, websites, even themensroom.com. And you could just see a plethora of information there. Enjoy it. It's over 600 articles that I've written on themensroom.com. Check it out, read it, understand it, appreciate it. Let me know what you think about it. And if you have any questions, do not hesitate to shoot a message to me.
Well, that's it, guys. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Trailblazers podcast. I'd love you to jump over to the website at tbpod.com/episode7 and leave me a comment on what you took away from today's episode with Craig the Barber. Now, on that page, I'll also be sure to post links to Craig's website and his recommendations mentioned today for books and other resources. Now again, the page is found at tbpod.com/episode7. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us an honest review on iTunes, Stitcher, and or TuneIn. It's going to take you about 60 seconds. And for those who do subscribe, review, and share the podcast on your social channels, I'm going to enter you to win a prize that I'll announce in a couple weeks. And definitely link up with us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is @TBPod. Guys, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Now, rise above and go way beyond to make today phenomenal.